So our tech segment today puts us squarely on the rails. Everybody wants to ride a bullet train, okay? And we'd love to not have to go to France or China or Europe to actually, or Japan to actually do it. And last night we caught a little horse trading on the issue of high-speed rail in President Obama's State of the Union address last night. First, here's the president.
There's no reason Europe or China should have the fastest trains. Or the new factories that manufacture clean energy products?
And the president went on to say he's going down to Tampa, Florida today to talk high-speed rail with officials in the state of Florida. So Senator Jeff Lemieux went into action. He's the Republican senator from Florida. He went into action to try to figure out how much money was actually coming his way. He called up the transportation secretary.
I talked to Secretary LaHood tonight, right after the president gave his address. And I said, what's the number? How much are we going to get? He said, it's going to be big. And I said, well, what does big mean? Does it mean two? And he said, it's very close to two. It's enough to do Tampa to Orlando.
Tampa to Orlando. Does it cost $1 billion or $2 billion? And what are the obstacles to high-speed rail in the United States? That tape from Senator Lemieux, courtesy of our correspondent in Washington, Todd Zwillick. Joining us now, Drew Galloway, Assistant Vice President of Policy and Development for the Eastern Region of Amtrak. Good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
And our very own Andrea Bernstein, takeaway correspondent here in the studio. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning.
So we want to divide this up. First, let's talk tech a little bit. There are certainly political and financial obstacles to high-speed rail, and we'll talk about those in a moment. But what are the technical issues of getting an Orlando to Tampa high-speed rail system set up, or one out in California, which was envisioned according to what we're hearing from Washington? Drew Galloway?
Both California and Florida will be built, constructed on new alignments, and that's a key feature for achieving the high speeds that they're going to be able to operate on, whereas most of the other applications that went into this program are building upon existing rail alignments, improving them so that the speeds do increase, but some of the alignments go back to pre-Civil War days.
So we need new rails. Do we need new switching systems, a new power supply?
It's an entirely new system, and it'll have a new electric distribution system. The signal system is all new. The technology is known. It's just a new installation of it. It's new track. It's new alignment. It's new stations.
All right. Andrea Bernstein, takeaway correspondent. We've heard in China that attempts to build high-speed rail between, say, Shanghai and Beijing involves an investment of $300 billion. It appears that in the $1 to $2 billion increments, we're kind of piecemeal doing this. Is that doable? You know all about this stuff.
If you start to think about China, your head will spin.
Yeah.
90% of China is supposed to be served by high-speed rail by the year 2020. So best thing to probably do is focus on what the U.S. will be getting out of this. And, you know, what the advocates for high-speed rail like out of this selection is that it actually helps build two systems, one in Florida. Oh, look at that. Florida. Gee, purple state. Isn't that great? But they had their planning underway, so it was sort of a matter of policy and politics for the White House that they could get their high-speed rail link. And California, which has already voted $9 billion bond act to build a high-speed rail from Northern California to Southern California.
Did these kind of numbers give us the actual trains, though, in both places?
Yes. In Florida, there will actually be bullet trains, and the thing that advocates like is, cool, it's Disneyland. So you get people from all over the country going literally right to Disneyland, and Disney is a partner in this project, and riding the high-speed rails, and people hope going home and creating a political constituency for more high-speed rail. The other big winner in this is the Midwest. Illinois to St. Louis right now takes about 5.5 hours by train. Why? Because the freight trains and the passenger trains are sharing a track.
CSX owns the track, right.
So the idea is, well, we're going to start by creating two tracks there and getting the system maybe, if not high speed, higher speed rail.
Now, there are real estate issues, of course, with doing something like that, acquisition of land, that sort of thing, rights of way, all of that. Drew Galloway, to get all of that implemented, you know, sometimes Amtrak has a really rough time in Congress, particularly with the Republicans. How do you gauge your ability to get this stuff done?
Well, I think we gauge it on the performance. And the Northeast Corridor operates up to speeds of 150 miles an hour today. And it was done through an incremental program that has to be laid out carefully so that you can build the improvements. And there's about $500 million or so we expect in the Northeast that will flow down to the incremental systems. While we continue to operate over 2,000 trains a day.
So
it takes very careful planning. It takes time. You have to do the environmental documentation. and make it move forward.
I got my calendar in front of me, and I'll get a response from Andrea in a moment. I want to go from New York City to Orlando with my family on a bullet train. What's the date that I should pencil in?
Push the calendar out a bit.
John, I think that you'll be bringing your grandchildren.
My grandchildren. Yes, ooh, ouch. Oh, my goodness. Well,
but look, this is what people say. People say, look, it took 30 years to build the interstate highway system.
Good point.
This has to be done incrementally. In the U.S., we're talking about incredibly long distances, longer distances than France or Spain or some
of these
countries,
true.
Japan, where they actually have high-speed rail.
Final.
The sweet spot for corridors is typically in the 200 to 500-mile range.
All right. And so Tampa, Orlando, any other choice places you're looking for, Drew Galloway?
Well, we partnered with states from New York, Connecticut, Maine, Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina. All of them have put in program applications. All of them will build upon systems or add new alignments, and we're very excited about it in this area.
Well, applications at least for high-speed rail coming to a community near you. Andrew, you have one last thing?
Look at this. Obama, the day after the State of the Union, gets to go to Florida and talk about the one really cool thing in the stimulus package, high-speed rail. Very deft political move.
All right. Drew Galloway, Assistant Vice President of Policy and Development for Amtrak. Andrea Bernstein, Takeaway Correspondent. Are you on your way to Tampa?
No, I'm not going to Tampa. Maybe when they get the high-speed rail in 2015.
She does. Yeah. She's angling for that ticket.
Orlando.
One place you can go, Andrea, though, is to our website, because there we've got the podcast that you can listen to that interview with General David Petraeus. We also have an audio tour of past State of the Union addresses, so you can kind of do some compare and contrast things. And there's a blog post from John.
That's right. Maybe the State of the Union is a reminder that we are a union as opposed to 309 million divided individuals.
That's right.
That's my take. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.